Here's the truth about AI. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. ServiceNow puts AI to work for people across your business, removing friction and frustration for your employees, supercharging productivity for your developers, providing intelligent tools for your service agents to make customers happier. All built into a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. Visit servicenow.com/UK/AI for people.
Your mind is like a puppy. It's adorable, a little chaotic, and constantly chasing squirrels. Today, we're going to teach it how to sit. You heard me. We're going to teach it how to sit with Phyllis Coletta. She's the author of the book, How to Be a Good Dog. But this isn't about our furry friends. This is about how to train our puppy minds, that restless, really distracted part of us that keeps running off every time we try and, well, sit. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you to Dr. Bradley Nelson and iHeartRadio, and a big shout out to our audience and our fans. Please take a second to like and subscribe now. Phyllis, how's it going? How's your mind doing? Is it sitting or is it chasing squirrels?
Hi, Lisa. Good morning. No, it's pretty quiet today. You know, I've morphed kind of into an older black lab, so they're generally pretty quiet creatures. They like to just lie in the sun and, you know, do nothing and be happy. So I'm kind of there, not all the time, but, you know, it took a decade or so to even come close. But how's your puppy mind today?
My puppy mind is pretty good, but I had a client that I saw yesterday that came to my space because I do energy work, and his puppy mind was like a 6-month-old chasing his tail. And it's funny because after the last episode we did together, I'm like comparing people to where they're at in terms of dogs, because it really makes a lot of sense to me. Like he was just completely all over the place, just like squirrel, 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 squirrel. And I was like, we got to figure this out because this isn't good for you.
Right. And, you know, it's fun to ask people what breed they think they are, like we did last, you know, like, because that'll give you a lot of information about your clients if they see themselves as a, you know, a working dog, a herder, an aggressive dog, whatever the breed might be. It's good info. So our listeners should do the same thing as we talk today. And every time we talk, like, what's that breed up there? They'll know, you know, pretty quickly if you're a dog person and have a dog. So it's a good exercise.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is. It's so good. It's so good. So today we're teaching, you're teaching people how to sit. So what does that mean?
Oh, it's such a, isn't it ridiculous? It's such a 3-letter word is so terrifying to folks. Not just sit, because we all can just sit on the couch and scroll, but sitting in furtherance of like a meditation or a stillness practice is a whole different ballgame, because there's no distractions, you know? So I think what I'd like to think about first is like getting our bodies kind of used to the idea of being quiet for a minute, even before we sit. And in a little bit, we're going to talk about, you know, a couple of real 5 like strategies you can use during the day when you're up and about. Because the first thing we need to do is train ourselves to get off autopilot, because we go through the day on autopilot. So sitting still and having silence is just not in our wheelhouse. We just like, you know, folks wake up, they look at their phone, they're listening to their kids, they're up and at it, which is just not so healthy for us, right? So we always want to go back to, Lisa, to like, why do this, right? Because so many people try it so many times, good people who really want to fix their lives and have some peace, and they just can't sustain it. So my goal, and through my little book, is, you know, always focusing on take your time, but do it. Like, and don't yell at yourself if you can't. So as we go into this concept of sitting, let's think, you know, why do you teach a puppy to sit? Like your client the other day, right? He was all over the place. So the first thing we teach our dogs when we get them, whether they're, you know, adopted or just a brand new puppy or whatever, the sit thing, right? Because we can then contain them a little bit, right? We stop stop the frenzy. And, you know, Cesar Millan, who's the dog whisperer, I just love this guy. I watch so many of his videos, and he always talks about energy. He says it's all about energy, human and dog, and the dogs are responding to our energy as your mind will respond to your energy as well. So if you're just letting that dog go crazy up there and it's peeing everywhere and eating your shoes and whatnot, that's what your life is going to reflect. So always, let's keep focused on why, once we get that puppy to sit still, it can listen. We do this with kids sometimes too, but it's usually punitive. Like, stay still and listen to me. That's not cool. But we try. That's how we try to contain people, is to get them to sit still. So we already have kind of a negative thinking about sitting still, right? Because as kids, we were probably told to like sit down and be quiet. And so it's not got a lot of, it's got like some bad baggage, but we do need to learn to do it, because once you're quiet and you learn to sit, there's this wisdom inside you never knew you had, right? I'm sure you've experienced this. Like, all of a sudden, like, you know the answer to your own problems. You know deep down exactly what to do. Everybody does. That's why I always have this thing about teachers and stuff telling us, like, how to solve things. No, all you need to do is sit still and quiet for long enough and kind of follow a basic little algorithm. And what you're going to do is give space for the chihuahua to shut up so that the quiet alpha can step up and start, helping you out. So sit is the first thing. We got to have a reason. We got to be ready. Are you ready to commit to sit, like to a practice? And, when I was a lawyer, I practiced a lot of general law. I was a litigation attorney. So occasionally I'd get like divorce clients or people coming in, to ask about marital issues. And they'd say to me, am I ready to get divorced? They're asking me, a lawyer. I was like, well, you better go talk to a therapist or something. I don't know. I can't tell you, except for my own experience, having been divorced several times. When like when you get there, you get there. And you're going to, I remember with my first husband, who's the father of my three kids, it was like, okay, I'd rather live in my Honda with them than live like this one more day. And that's kind of like what you have to get to really start and sustain a meditation practice, is your life is completely kind of out of control, or it's painful, or you're suffering. But as you know, people don't really change unless it gets really bad or they're forced to.
Gosh, I want so bad to change that, because everything in my life that I've ever changed that has been dramatic has been because it's gotten to a point where I couldn't handle living that way anymore. And
Oh.
I try and teach people to like look for the signs, but I'm such a hypocrite because I haven't changed unless there was something dramatic that
Right.
was like driving me nuts, like a pencil jabbing me every single moment until I said,
Yep.
fine, I'll do it.
Yep. And the universe has a way of doing that, right? Getting your attention one way or
Totally.
another. If things need to happen differently in your life, you're going to get what I call smote, like the biblical term, getting smote. Like 2014, I got breast cancer. Like, I'm the healthiest person I know, right? 2023, I had a brain bleed. Like, I learned through my body. I always have. I'm an athlete. My body has taught me everything. So the universe knows that. So when I'm not getting it sort of gives me something to wake me up a little bit. And I don't want people to have to wait for that, right? Because those are pretty extreme circumstances. So,
It's
and I
so
always,
extreme.
yeah, very extreme. But you know what? In both cases, I had meditated enough to know that this was a cosmic thing and I was going to learn a lot. And how am I going to work through this, right? Especially in 2023 with the brain bleed. I was hardly even upset at all. And I knew that that was from 10, 12 years of meditation and mind training. So it's like going to the gym. I bet a lot of our listeners go to the gym, right? Or they work out because they're trying to get strong. But you got to build your crisis muscles. And that's all in the head. That's everything about a crisis is in your head. So that when a crisis happens, you won't be insane or chaotic or crazy or in despair. You'll be okay. You'll be present. So there's so much value in this practice, Lisa. That's why I was like, We got to find a way to open it up to that 35-year-old mom. She's got a little bit of a belly roll. She's got a lot of bills. You know what I mean? But meditation is not, it's not in her wheelhouse, but it can be and it should be because it's as old as we can imagine and it's so effective and it's free. So when we start to train a puppy, we do things really quick, short sessions. Like you don't try go hard in the paint on day one with that puppy. Like sit, sit,
No,
sit,
you'll
sit.
never succeed. And then you'll just
Right.
be frustrated, and then you won't want to do it anymore.
Right. Just like us. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to advise people not to go sit right away, just to start preparing yourself to sit. And we'll talk about what that means. But you also have to approach it like your puppy with a lot of love. They're so adorable. Sometimes I think the universe like makes like little kids and animals so cute so that you won't just like lose your mind and beat them.
That.
You know what I
It's
mean?
true. It's
It's
true.
like they,
Yeah,
it's their
that's true.
only defense. Yeah, it's a defense mechanism, right?
I've
That they
said
have.
that so many times. If you weren't
Yeah.
so cute, I would throw you through a window right now.
So we have to bring that same kind of love to ourselves. Like the love, you're not going to be screaming at this dog. So you want to do short sessions to start, lots of love. And with a puppy, we encourage them. Like when they do sit, we're like, good dog, good dog. Lots of encouragement. And they need a little reward, food, obviously. But we need a reward too. And we need, sometimes I guess food is not a great way to reward ourselves, right? But the concept, the idea of a peaceful life, wow, like that's a good reward if we can kind of keep that in mind. So short sessions, lots of love, encouragement and reward, and discipline and consistency. Like these are what we do to train a puppy. And just take that over to your mind. And people hate the word discipline. I get that. But you're disciplined about a lot of things, right? A lot of folks are disciplined about, say, their health, their exercise, or whatever, achieving goals, blah, blah, blah. We know how to be disciplined, but it feels so painful. We don't want to do it. We don't even like the word. We'd rather be comfortable than disciplined. But mind training takes discipline. Puppy training, the same thing. So it's really important to know that it's going to take a while and you have to be consistent and you got to be ready. So if your life is, in the shitter or everything is chaotic or you're in pain or you suffer a lot, you might want to consider training your mind. So those are the
Yeah.
basics. That's how we start. And what we're really doing, Lisa, is flipping the script. This one's a really hard one for people to understand. You know how that saying about don't just sit there, do something. What I'm telling you is don't just do something, sit there. That's the opposite of every message in this culture, right? We're always telling people, get up, do something. Don't just sit there, make a decision, move. And that's not what we're doing here. We're flipping it. So when you
Yeah.
sit, I think Stacy asked me a question on one of our other podcasts about, like how do you reward yourself about with why would you do this kind of thing? And how do you get like really goal-oriented people to sit? Because they want to do
Well,
things.
yeah, because everyone's been trained
Yeah.
to do more. Even like I remember growing up and being sad or anxious and being told to just go do something, distract yourself. And
Exactly.
so, and now it's like, now the world is telling me to feel your feelings and take a second and process what's going on. But I find that so challenging to do if I'm like going through something like crisis, like if I am feeling, for example, I've recently cut out nicotine and I was like so irritable and just on edge, and I felt like that chihuahua for a while. Like I was just so scattered, and I didn't know what to do with myself. And so what do you tell people who are going through something maybe turbulent? Like how do you train a turbulent mind? Because in crisis, that's not the first place we go is sit. The first place we go is run.
Right. That is exactly true. Well, that I, there is no quick fix for that. And that's another thing, everybody wants to tell you can do this tomorrow and it'll be fine in a week. And that's just not the case. If you have a turbulent mind, like a turbulent puppy, it's gonna take a while. But I mean, there's always the breath. Like in a crisis, just breathe. Honestly, that just slows things down. So, I mean, there's a point in the book when I talk about the power of the pause, like PAWS, like pause. You have to learn to not be reactive. We
Right.
react so quickly. I mean, I
Yeah.
was like a trigger, anger trigger all the time. Like my first response was aggression all the time.
Right.
And I mean, I was funny and we had good times too, but if something was going down, I was aggressive. And
Right.
I didn't even realize it. So it's not a matter of like, I can't really tell people what to do. They have to get to know themselves. That's what meditation is for. You have to understand why you react like that. And unless you take the time to sit still and get to know yourself, you don't even know why you're reacting with aggression or whatever the first response is. So it
Yeah.
is, like you said, it's a process. It really is. And learning to stop and not do something is completely opposite of what we've been trained to do, like you said, you know. So, but it's cool that you, well, go ahead. No, please.
No, I wanted to go back to the reward because that has me intrigued. So, what do you mean by that? We give ourselves a reward after sitting.
Well, you know, it's funny because there's a story in the book, and I'll talk more about it the next time we talk in learning to try to stay. Like when I was just learning meditation, I did use some really bad rewards for myself. Like if you just sit here for 5 minutes, then you can go get Doritos. You know what I mean? Like I did some really bad rewards there. Or you can like watch TV, or I would give myself like a culturally appropriate reward, you know? And that's not a great habit to, it got me like basically started. But the reward has to be kind of metaphysical. It has to be more intrinsic, organic. And the reward is, I feel peace. And you will. I mean, that can happen rather quickly. You will start, once you start an awareness practice, like you're, oh, wait a minute, I'm doing that thing. So a lot of meditation is about what you're doing when you're walking around the world, right? So,
Yeah.
and those, yeah, I'm going to talk about those five things I'd like our listeners to try to start implementing just to prime the pump. For up for awareness. That's all. Let's start slow. You don't necessarily need to sit, but how about you just like slow down a little bit and become aware of why you react the way you react. But one of the things too that we have to you mention, and it's so important, is this distraction thing. So I'm going to ask
Yes.
you a question. What are your favorite distractions when you don't want to do something you have to do?
And hands down, no question, it's my cell phone. Every single time. I open my messenger even if I don't have a message. Like it's like the constant looking for something.
Right. And that's
Or all of
exactly
a sudden
it.
I'll get the urge to clean my entire apartment if I
There
don't
you
feel like
go.
doing something. It's like all of a sudden I'm like Molly Maid, like doing all the things that I was supposed to do on the weekend but didn't, you know. It's like the most mundane things just to distract from what's actually supposed to be happening in that moment.
And I mean, I'm the same way, you know,
What about you? Yeah, what about you?
it's scrolling, but it's more like, and I don't shop, right? So there's a lot of things that culturally we do. We shop, we drink, we go try and find somebody to flirt with, we text, we buy more stuff, we cook things, like whatever we can do, we do. I do some of that stuff. I am more physical. I'll go outside and take a walk, or I mean, I will do something that prevents me from doing what I need to do. As a writer, it's really hard when you're just like, ah, there's nothing left, and I'm sharpening pencils, like literally doing those stupid things, you know? So it'd be fun for listeners to think about, like, what's my go-to? What is the first thing I do when I don't want to do something? So the next time you're there in that situation, you'll be like, oh, I'm scrolling when I could be quiet. That's a really hard, we're so addicted to those, to the phones,
So
you know?
addicted, so addicted.
Well, and that's by design. It's so evil, Lisa. It's truly evil. You know, the guys who actually created this whole scenario won't let their kids use it. Those
Wow.
the scientists, the brain scientists of Silicon Valley will never, don't let their kids near this stuff because they have created it to activate the amygdala and get us addicted as quickly as possible. And generally it's fear and anger and hatred. You know, those things, oof, we respond. It's juice. It gives us juice. But eventually, the idea of peace has to kind of give us that same hit, you know?
Right.
But I remember when I first started trying to meditate, like I had three little kids and I didn't have any money, and life was a mess, as it generally is. But I remember a point stopping at a point in the day, and I felt like, oh, what was that? Like I had a feeling, and it was like a release, you know? And I had been wound so tight for so long, I didn't even know what relaxation felt like. I couldn't
Right.
name it. You know what I mean? Like this
Yeah.
feeling, I was like, whoa, that felt good. What was that? It was relaxing. I mean, I didn't even know what it was. I was so used to being anxious.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we can avoid, list those distractions, take a breath, avoid them, that would be great, you know. And then if we could really like think about any kind of fears we have about the process, like why am I afraid to sit? Just ask yourself that question. It's really rich, the answers you get. And again, this is all about learning who we are.
Why
Meditation
are
is.
you afraid to sit? Do you remember why
I
you
sure
were
do. Oh
avoiding
my
it?
God, I sure do. And I was up and down off that pillow so many times, I can't even tell you. There were two reasons. They both seem, well, one seems really silly, but like I thought, like, I'm not going to be any fun anymore if I learn how to be a meditator. I'll just be like all peaceful and I'll have to wear certain clothes. I like bought into the cultural thing about these serious people. I don't want to be serious. I'm a highly energetic, loud-mouthy, fun kind of gal, right? So I don't
Right.
want to be serious. I was afraid meditation would like change me into like somebody who
Oh.
was somber. I was worried about that. And
Interesting.
why in the media, like the when they see meditation, it's always like this beautiful young woman with long hair in like these tight yoga clothes with her midriff flat as a pancake. Like, what is that? That's not what but if that's what a meditator was, I didn't want to be that. I didn't have the body. I didn't want to be that quiet. But more and obviously I'm fine. Like it didn't happen. I'm still funny, but I'm not, it's no more at the expense of others. Like I used to have a very sharp sense of humor. I was like critical in mean ways. It was always funny, just like guys, you know, comedians on stage do, but it wasn't right. So
Right.
I'm still funny, but
There was
it's
an
not.
underlying truth to what you were saying.
I've always, but I still didn't have to, you know, use that to make to be fun. And secondly, I was like, oh, if I sit still, all my demons are gonna visit. That's
Right.
the real fear. People are afraid of what's gonna happen. What's my mind gonna conjure up? So here's what's gonna happen. Nobody ever told me this. This is really important, I think. Nobody ever said, once you sit, first of all, it's going to be like a sitcom. You know, did I turn the iron off? And what am I cooking for dinner? And blah, blah, blah. And where is that a window open? Like that kind of stuff, which is kind of funny, annoying, and funny. But once you quiet that down, then the demons start. Oh, you remember what
Right.
he said to you? Then you start seeing those pictures of when you were hurt, you know, the movie, the drama, the horrible stuff starts. That's what I was afraid of. But here's the thing. I don't think anybody's ever died of, you know, meditating. It's not going to kill you to face your demons while you're sitting still on a pillow. Think about that.
Yeah.
No, there's no threat. You
Yeah, I
know?
wonder why we're so afraid of that, because that was my number one fear when I started sitting as well, is like afraid of what I would have to face in those moments. And then I was like, wow, it was interesting to me because there was like memories from your childhood come up. And then it was almost like I flipped it. I'm like, I wonder what's going to come up today, because the things that come up are essentially what your body's processing in terms of trauma. And so to get like, I guess scientific is like whatever you're thinking of is what is trying to process. And we've become so good at running away from those things that they've never had a chance to leave our body. Yeah. So in those quiet times when we're sitting, they can actually release and then they're gone.
They're gone. You know, and like in my opinion, in my worldview, after like almost six full decades on the planet, it doesn't really leave you, but it leaves the power it has leaves,
Power, yep.
right? It's like teaching a dog to heal, right? It's not dragging you all over the place. Your
Right.
trauma
You
no
might still
longer
have the memory, you might
right.
still have the vision, but you're not going to have the attached emotion to it.
Exactly. Can you
Yeah.
imagine being free from that? Like, think about if people could be free, if any one of our listeners could be free of one major thing that is just causing so much pain and anxiety. And it doesn't again happen immediately, but it might, like you might see it and just be like, oh, why am I holding on to that? Like the
Yeah.
whole concept is to let it go, but you got to name it to tame it. If you don't name what's going on, if you don't face it, it's going to find you. And I have lots of stories in the book about that. And there's a, the Buddhist love stories, and I don't teach Buddhism or anything like that, but there's this great story about a guy named Milarepa who lost all his money and he was in trouble. And his guru said, go sit on the mountaintop and be alone for 3 years or whatever. So he goes, and his demons find him there, like in the myth, right? He's in this cave all by himself, and they show up in there, and he tries everything to get him out of his little hut. He screams, he yells, he throws water at him, he lights a fire, and he just exhausts himself trying to get rid of his demons. And one day he finally is like, oh, just come on in. You want a cup of coffee? Like he just invites them in. So these scary, it's like Where the Wild Things Are, right? That book by Maurice Sendak. These scary things come in, but when you stare at them, they dissolve. Like they
Right.
lose everything. When you befriend them, they're like, wait a minute. We don't want her to befriend us. We want her to get agitated and upset. So
Yeah.
they lose their
Yeah,
power.
negativity can attach to the light. It's like moths are attracted to the light. But if you, how does that make sense? What I'm trying to say is if you are killing people with kindness and gratitude and love, the negative stuff can attach to that because the frequency is so high that negative frequencies are low. So when you're up here, like it's only all that stuff falls away and it's beautiful.
It is beautiful, and you have to, kill yourself with kindness first, essentially,
That's true. Yep.
because that's the
You have to
one of
be the love. You
you have
essentially
to
have to
be
be the light.
for yourself. I mean, one of my distractions, I was raised a Catholic, and they teach you about how everybody's suffering and you have to do stuff about it, which is not a bad thing in and of itself, right? But I always used, I'll just form a nonprofit, I'll volunteer at the shelter. I use that as a way of not having to be alone with my thoughts. So even good, so-called good stuff can just be a distraction. It can just be
Right.
another way of keeping you from. So it meditation and actually Buddhist practice is all about self-love first, you first. And we are not, especially as women, never trained to think about ourselves first, ever. It's always everybody else all the time. And, I wish this had changed. It's changed somewhat since I was a kid, but it's still there, that cultural or familial push to, like, if you're the girl, you're going to end up taking care of everybody and helping. We're helpers by nature. That's got to go. Like, we have to love ourselves enough to stop that. And Brené Brown, whom we were talking about before, has done a
Yeah.
lot of, she studied compassion, and she said the one thing really compassionate people have in common is good boundaries. You would never think
Yes.
that was it, but that's true. So all of this to say, just like take it easy on yourself through the process, but commit to it and make it a habit, So, but if you don't mind, I want to try a quick little experiment with our
Would
with
love
you.
to. Let's do
With our
it.
listeners.
Let's do it.
Okay. So I keep your eyes open, just relax. We're going to be quiet for 10 seconds. We'll see if we can make it to 15, but let's try 10. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, that was 10 seconds. How did that
Wow.
look? What did that feel like to you?
It felt good actually for me. I'm used to it though. But I told you the
Right.
story last night listening to a podcast, and there was a 4 second pause, and I
Right.
literally thought my phone shut the podcast off.
Right.
So at most times I'll be like, what's going on, kind of thing, if there's a
Yeah.
long pause.
Right. And for most of our listeners, it was probably very almost uncomfortable, right, to see the two of us just sitting here not doing anything, right? It's just recognize the discomfort. Isn't it funny that we're so afraid of silence? It's just crazy. But it's, so there's a lot of habits that we're trying to change. And Thich Nhat Hanh called them habits of mind. These are just the habits of our mind. That's all they are. But they can be harmful. So you replace a bad habit with a good habit. It's just a matter of becoming aware of the whole thing. But just know that as soon as you start this whole thing, your mind is going to go crazy. And it's pretty funny. And then the demons will come. So sitting itself is a very courageous act, girl. It takes
Yeah,
courage to do this,
totally.
right? To sit for those 10 seconds and not answer the phone and not look at the phone and not talk to anybody. We feel like we're going to be alone and afraid and isolated, and it's exactly the opposite. Like eventually everything becomes connected to you. So it's really powerful, but we're starting at the very beginning. And again, we're doing it short and slowly with love, a little discipline, reward, encouragement, all the good things to get us there. So,
You had
but
five tips for us. Do you want to
yeah,
go over those tips
I
now?
am. I do. So, like, if you want to try to sit, keep it short, like 2 minutes, but the phone has to be off. But micro
So
steps
you
all.
suggest starting with 2 minutes?
Oh, yeah, no more than that. If you can sit in quiet with no distractions for 2 minutes, you're on your way. Make it short. If you could you imagine a puppy sitting for 2 minutes? We just did 10 seconds. It's a
Right.
long time. 2 minutes is a long time, you know?
Yep.
Okay, so what you want to do is kind of just ground yourself during the day. You're walking around, you're busy. And this one's called the 1 minute landing. And by the way, a link to this, it's a downloadable PDF. It'll be in the show notes. So all I want you to do is like notice your feet or your butt, like where you're sitting or standing. That's it. Just one, like if you can just notice where you are, and that's all with your feet, with your body. That's called the 1 minute landing. If you can do it for 30 seconds, that would be great. The next is called the sip and sit. So in the morning, when you have
That
your
sounds
coffee,
fun.
yeah, well, probably not wine. I mean, you could, but I would prefer coffee or tea, right? Something not that's not going to alter your thinking, right? And whatever you do in the morning, everybody seems to like a hot beverage. So instead of like scrolling or talking or planning, just sit and drink your coffee for 90 seconds if you can. If you can, without planning your day or scrolling or talking to somebody. See if you can do it. That's a tough one, but try a sit and sip. If you can do that, then you can sit. If you can just drink your coffee. And the
Without
next thing,
distractions. Yeah, because typically
right.
I'll be eating and I'll be like reading on my phone or listening to something. Yeah, I don't typically eat in silence or sit.
Just sip that coffee or tea in silence. It's really nice if you can, when you get used to it. That's a good one.
That's what my grandma used to say when she was enjoying a hot cup of coffee.
Ah, see, and don't wait till you're old to do this stuff, right? Like those
Ha
old people, you get it after a while. Like I'm 69. I know I enjoy my life because it's on its way out, and I look at the frenzy, like, what's everybody doing here? Like, what's going on? You do get definitely a lighter touch as you get older about this, but start now. Like, you can do it when you're any age, you can learn to do this.
Yeah.
So, okay, next time, then you're out driving. This is number four. No, number three, I guess. So, we would call
Yeah,
this
this was number three.
number
So the
three.
first one was 2 minutes. Sit
The
for
one.
two minutes.
Now, the 1 minute landing, focusing on your feet, getting grounded, just your feet or
All
your butt,
right.
focusing on
Okay.
those body parts. The second was the sip and sit. The third is
Right.
called the traffic light pause. Okay, so you're
Oh,
driving.
I'd like this one because I don't like red lights.
Red lights, they mean stop, but now they also mean exhale. That's it. A nice big, every time you hit a red light, and I have to do this because I live in Jersey and I don't like traffic and I get up on people's bumpers. When I hit a red light, that's it. At a traffic light, if you can train yourself, it doesn't just mean stop, it means breathe now too. So that's a good way you can start to train your brain to be aware instead of going on
To be
autopilot.
okay with sitting still for a
Right.
second, because
A
in
second.
traffic, I like maneuver into parking lots to avoid red lights and like turn and then do a U-turn because I like to be constantly going when I'm in my car.
I know we all do.
I
It's the
like
way.
that idea of the breath at the red light, breathing.
Red lights, red
That's a
lights
great
only.
tip. That's a great
Yep.
tip.
And this one is called like The tail wag. You know how like dogs who are so happy, black labs are, oh man, my dogs, their tails were always wagging, right? Because they are, in essence, grateful for everything. I think if you know, I
Yeah.
don't know, the dog doesn't know it's grateful, but just
Why
think
does that
about.
make me sad right now? Like just thinking about how like happy dogs are. Like it literally makes me feel emotional for some reason. 'Cause you could literally scream at them and then 2 minutes later they're
They're
like
right
wagging
back.
their tail and they're loving you
No.
so much and that breaks my heart for some reason.
It because it's unconditional love? It is the
Yeah.
absolute, they are the definition of unconditional love. You know, you scold them. You know, my dog, the black labs are fetchers and absconders and they're foragers. We bring in like a dead duck because we live near a bay, right? And that's so
Oh,
gross. Like, yeah, yell at him. You know, I'm giving him, but that's his nature. But like, yeah, 5 minutes later, he doesn't go to a corner and sulk and decide how he's gonna, you know, be mean to me. He just like comes back. Oh, okay, hi, it's you again. I leave to go get milk, and he throws a party when I get home. Like,
yeah.
it's just, they're beautiful. That's why we love them so much, just because of
Yeah.
exactly what you just said. And that's why we can and should use them to train our own minds, because we will automatically love a puppy and a dog because they're so.
And talk about how like I remember like getting really mad at I even got mad at my cat the other day, like so mad that I pushed her off the counter because she's not supposed to be there and I was so frustrated and I'm not proud of it, but I pushed her off and then immediately I felt so bad after, like so incredibly bad. I was like, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that. They literally train us to be more patient and
They
loving
do.
and
They do. But
yeah.
you know, and as a parent, you know, I know it's sad when you lose your temper with little kids, right? They're kind of like
With
dogs. They don't know better. I
anybody
know.
even.
Especially, you know, when you know they're trying and they're doing their best, or even if they're not, even if they're, you know, acting out or whatever, if you can bring love and patience instead of anger, it's a good thing. But you know, dogs, that's why, imagine the whole world's good dogs. I love this thought of like, okay, there's 8 billion people on the planet. What if half of them were good dogs? Like,
Yeah.
what a world, right? So the tail wag is just like, think of three things that you're grateful for right there in the moment. You could, you know, the baby threw up on you, there's big dog poop over there, whatever. Yet you find three things to be grateful for right in the moment. That's a good one. And then finally, I call this the fetch break, where you can, if possible, go outside, look at the sky, stretch, breathe, just like, and like a dog, you know, you go throw a bone, you just go outside for a minute, if possible. Find a moment of pure presence. If like you're in the office, walk to a window, look at the sun, look at the people walking, just get connected somehow to nature and the outdoors. And it's going to be a reset as well. So those are five things you can do to start thinking about being quiet, sitting quietly, and then try to sit quietly if you can. But first, we have to break the habit of moving constantly and going on autopilot. Get up, go to the office, go to the shower, blah, blah, blah. You know, we have so many little huts, you know, ruts and
Yeah.
habits. So
I
that's that.
love those tips. Those are all amazing tips and they're so relatable and they're so easy to do. Do you go over all of these things in your book? And can you tell us a little bit about your book, where people can find it?
I don't have those specific tips in the book. The book is more based on like stories, and it's broken down into two parts. Like, you know, how do you train a dog? Because we look at all of these things and relate them to ourselves. And then the second part is like, how do you sit, stay, heal, you know, leave it. So you can find it on my website, howtobeagooddog.com. And if you fill out a contact form, you get a free chapter. But you could also just email me and I'll send you the chapter on sit, so that if you want to read it through in a little, you know, before you buy it or before you start sitting or whatever, it's Phyllis at howtobeagooddog.com. You can't forget that. So those are the things.
Yes. Amazing, amazing. So do you have any last minute thoughts on today's topic? I know for me, I love how you just, like I said, you make it so easy and so relatable and how you turn meditation into something that is in everyday living. Because you're right, there's so many gurus and spirituality out there and you see these like backdrops and these big pillows and the guru sitting there in their like whatever hemp outfit that is like, they're like just sitting there so cool with their spirit beads and their crystals. And it's like, if that's what meditation is, that's pretty far-fetched. No pun intended.
I got it. No, it's un you can't do it. That kept me away from it for a long time because life is a freaking mess and we are a beautiful mess. We are all messy. I don't care how good you influencers look. Like, that's just not real. That's not how
Yeah.
people live. Life is a mess, particularly in your 30s, 40s, like at any age generally, but when you're in it with kids and money and careers and relationships, it's adulting is really hard. But if you look at little kids, I mean, this is maybe let's leave with this. Kids just, their job is to play. That's their whole job. Like, and then we lose that at around 7 or 8 when we start going to school, and then there's all the rigidity. And by middle school, then we're starting that thing. We're like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I don't like my boobs. That all starts. The voice starts, I think, in middle
Yeah.
school. So try to put yourself back when you were a kid. And what did you do like when you were 5 that really lit you up? Do you remember, Lisa, what you did at 5?
Oh, I remember playing bookstore in my room, and I had like a fake scanner, and I was like obsessed with the grocery store and the scanner. So I would have my books and I would scan them, and then I'd put them in bags for people.
That's
Yeah.
adorable. Like, see, and so you loved that. Obviously, you love books. You love that giving. You love routine. Like, you can tell, like, what you love by what you did when you were 5. I was out climbing any tree I could, playing with
Oh,
my
me too.
Barbies.
Yes.
I was outside every minute I possibly could be. And that's still what I want to do. So, I guess that's what I would say. If you want a relief from your adult self, try to remember what really floated your boat when you were 5 or 6 years old and go back there for a little bit and enjoy.
I love that. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing your wisdom. And I love all these tips. Like I said, they're so relatable. I'm so excited for the next episode because you're joining us for a series. And you're going to take us through all of these commands that we can use on ourselves. So
Right.
I love the idea of thinking of my brain as a puppy and retraining it.
Yep, we're going to get there. We're going to have a good world with good. There are a lot of two-legged good dogs out there. There are a lot of people really trying very hard, but let's just make it accessible and easy for them to find peace.
Amen to that. And to our audience, until you listen to the next episode, why don't you think about what kind of dog you are and think about what kind of dog you want to become? We'll get into more of these in the next episode. But until next time, please do not forget to like and subscribe and just have a beautiful day and take a breath at a red light. I'm going to do that instead of wishing that it would turn green because when you wish something, it tends to take forever.
That's
All
right.
right, everybody, take care and have a beautiful day.